The Morning Brew Podcast with Jaffe and Razor, sponsored by Berkshire Bank Home Lending, where you borrow matters. And welcome into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, presented by Berkshire Bank. This episode is also made possible by Tresca in the North End, Fazenda Coffee, and by Max Pro Hockey. A little bit later in the show, we will talk about each of those sponsors, and thank you to them as always. Razor, before we get going to, just quickly want to say something here. I know that we have a big fan in Canada by the name of Steve McNaughton that listens to the show an awful lot, and just wanted to let him know that we are thinking of him. We appreciate him listening to this, and just thinking of him.
Yeah.
Praying the best for him.
Absolutely. Hoping for the best for him and his family.
Boston Bruins fan, Steve McNaughton. I'm sure Steve McNaughton was not happy with the outcome on Wednesday night. Let's get right into it. I mean, there is so much stuff to talk about, and let's just get right to the hit on Hampus Lindholm.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, a big, huge turning point in the game. Andrei Svechnikov, who has played a physical game his entire career, sometimes it has come back to haunt him. You go back to the playoffs a couple of years ago, and Alexander Ovechkin popped him real good in the fight, knocked him down, knocked him out. And he's done some other things that I would call curious or questionable. This hit that he makes on Hampus Lindholm, who gets the puck coming around behind the Bruins' net. He's a lefty, so he's coming up the left, or he's trying to then turn up the left side. Svechnikov paces him. He seeks him out. And he paces it perfectly to where he meets him as Hampus is just trying to turn up the ice with a ferocious body check. Hampus goes down. You could tell immediately that he was not okay. Call on the ice was nothing.
Yeah.
Was nothing. Let's talk about the hit. Let's talk about the potential of anything else. And let's talk about Hampus Lindholm and what this would mean for the Bruins if he can't come back. What did you think of the hit?
My initial right away, bang bang, that it was clean and an absolute wipeout, an absolute crank of a hit that certainly there's no question would have been celebrated to no end 15 years ago.
Right
now with technology, we slow it down. As you look at it a few more times, you look at it at different angles. It's right on the edge of being that high hit. And for me, last night, the Raquel hit, the Lindgren hit on Raquel in Madison Square Garden was very similar, where it's so close.
Mm-hmm.
The and hit last heavy, night, it was heavy.
Along the wall.
It was a little later. This one, Lindholm had the puck on his stick, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
My initial reaction is it's really close, but very hard to suspend a guy for that.
It was vicious.
From Svechnikov. A
vicious, massive hit that vibrated through the television screen.
That Lindholm didn't see and didn't protect himself from either.
Right. Had his head down just a little bit, yeah. Right? Trying to turn up the ice. And I do think Svechnikov paced him, or when I say paced, I don't mean P-A-S-T-E. I mean pace, P-A-C-E. You know, he stalked him almost.
He's lurking right in,
exactly.
In behind Allmark, in behind the net. Lindholm doesn't get him on his field of vision.
Right, and he got him. He got his pace perfectly,
yeah.
And he timed it perfectly. And it was the kind of hit where it makes you almost jump out of your seat because
yeah.
You can't believe the impact of it. And both of these men are big human beings and coming at each other with speed. And so it's even more ferocious. I'm not sure, you know, what does the league look for here? If there was any point head contact or if it was principal point. Going by what we've known from the past, it would be, they will determine or look at what was the principal point of contact. And if it was shoulder, chest, and then afterwards some head contact, there's a good chance that he won't get anything extra.
Well, and the other, and this is how the league gets themselves in trouble, but okay, the guy in Toronto, Clifford, gets one game for what he did.
Right.
If you go off of that, that's not even close. You can't even think of giving Svechnikov a game if right. you base it off of what Clifford got in Toronto the other night.
And the
Tampa.
Fact that Lindgren got nothing for a similar hit, albeit again, one was open ice, the other was more along the wall, but they both had ferocity and
the
an
point
element,
of contact was very close.
The
to
point
the
about exactly the, yeah. the initial point of contact was very similar. My first intuition was the same as yours, that was a, oh my, are you freaking kidding me? Whoa hit, like beyond. And I'm not sure, though, that it's going to get anything. And I know, I'm sure you talked to or heard from, my phone lit up.
Yeah,
up.
I had a bunch of, that was clean, what a hit. And that's from random players and older guys.
Players, but. Former officials, I had, my phone was blowing up with it. And, I'm not sure. I'm going to lean towards probably not, but I've become so clueless almost with what the league is going to end up doing that it's almost, well, it's impossible, at least for me. Let's talk about David Pastrnak on Antti Raanta. I know I'm going in disjointed order here, but again, I'm going with regard to, I think
magnitude.
What I would call magnet, right. Yeah. The importance, impact. So David Pastrnak goes in on a power play, dumped the puck in, which we have hardly seen. They did it a little bit tonight early on here. The puck is away from Raanta, but close enough. And then Raanta is going to play it then. So he's playing it to his left. Pastrnak's coming down the right side. Raanta gets it, follows through, and then Pastrnak puts his hands up, we think out of protection, but then follows through and makes contact with the head of Antti Raanta, who before he hits the ice seems like he's hurt right there by the hand contact onto the head of the head covered with the goalie mask. He then gets up after being run into inadvertently. He gets clipped by, is it a skate or a shin of an opponent of a teammate, kind of crossing by almost after the whistle, takes the helmet off. And you can see that there's a facial injury. After the game, Rod Brind'Amour was asked about concussion stuff, and he said no. So I've got to surmise that facial mouth injury was it. Significant teeth loss? Because we thought that if he would get stitched up, that he'd probably come back. Obviously, he didn't. Where, I mean, you know, this could have been a you know, an earth-shattering moment in the game, and turns out that Peter Kochekov comes off the bench, shows the confidence that he has, that the scouting report said that he had, and looked just fine. What did this hit bother you? Did this play bother you, Pastrnak on Antti Raanta?
It didn't. I thought it deserved the roughing call that it got. I thought the refs, of the one thing they did all night, I thought this
they got right
by calling a 2-minute, because David did have his hands up too high. He was protecting himself, but he had them up long enough.
He didn't make the effort to bring him down.
It
right?
wasn't like they came straight down. Yeah. He still kind of bumped Raanta enough. Give him a 2-minute. That's, you know, it wasn't malicious, but it was, his hands were up. Right. You know, like that happens. From my point of view, your helmet can move around as a goaltender. Some guys wear it real tight. Some guys have it real loose. You see them pop off, some players. I'm not exactly sure Raanta, his ability to just pull it off without undoing a snap tells me that it's not very tight on his helmet, but he goes to pull it off to go and check his mouth. That's when the skate comes through. I don't think that skating through him caused that much distress to him. I'm sure it was annoying as he's pulling his helmet off and he had already gotten hit in the head, but that mask can turn enough where it just hits you in the side of the mouth, and if it's hard enough, it can give you a pressure cut. A lot of times you'll see if goalies get hit in the face with the puck, it'll be a pressure cut in the forehead or in your chin, wherever it is. Or it hits you enough and you bite the side lip, or you get some kind of a mouth injury, or it splits your lip just a little bit. And that's, to me, what it looked like. There was a, but just enough.
It couldn't have been small. And I know Ronta has a history of some injuries. I get it.
Uh-huh.
It couldn't have been small, though. Do you think it, and for him not okay. to come back?
Well, if you, as a goaltender, if you get, if you need to get 5 or 6 stitches in there, let's say, not a big gash, but 5 or 6, and you miss 25 minutes of playing, he's gone in already. Do you put the guy who was mm-hmm. injured on a play, had to get stitched up, cooled down at that point, taking his gear off to get it done, and putting him back in? At that point, they could have made the decision that, listen, we believe in the kid anyways. The kid's doing well. We don't want to mess things
couple.
Up. We're up by a couple. There's no, it's not like he's come in and given up 3 quick goals that we need to get you back out there.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm coming from. A lot of times, and again, I say it jokingly, but goalies can be a little softer in what they can play through at times yep. too, because you're out there the whole time. If you're not feeling 100%, if your mouth's bleeding, it's not like you can just spit it up
right.
on the ice
your
all the time.
Your mask is in the way.
You
there.
Can't just go yep. to the bench and get gauzed every time you come, go play a 30-second shift, come off, put a towel back. You're out there the whole time. So in these kinds of situations, what injuries are okay for players to play with, sometimes goalies can't just out of the convenience of it.
I'm going to be fascinated, maybe the wrong term. I'm very interested to hear what clipped, I mean, what did it to him? And I don't know if we'll find out till the end of the series, but I know there was contact, but I'm thinking it's a mask. It's gloved, yeah. a mask. It didn't seem that
forceful.
Didn't seem that, yeah, it didn't seem that much to me
no.
at the beginning, but something happened. All right. Rod Brind'Amour post game had some comments that made you think, or not made you think, that was him. He was trying to be coy about it, which was anything but. I mean, saying that one was legal when he was asked about the hit, Svechnikov's hit on Lindholm, and then the contact made on Ranta, and one wasn't, alluding to the fact that that one wasn't legal. I mean, it was a minor, but was it anything more than that? I didn't see it that way. I know you didn't see it that way. Svechnikov hit on Charlie McAvoy, neutral zone. We discussed this at length on Nesson postgame. It was a heavy duty collision that could have been significant injury for everybody.
Yes.
You know, and I don't, you know, they clipped, they, or they didn't even clip. They, it was like a leg on, like, it was a leg on leg, close to a knee on knee play. Well, the play was over on the, we'll call it Carolina right wing side going into the B zone. Charlie was looking over there. He was on the other side of the ice. He turned back up the ice and collided significantly with Svechnikov. It, you know, if you look at the replays, which we did a lot, Svechnikov seems to see Charlie more than Charlie seems him as he turns up the ice. Hard to say that I think Svechnikov did it on purpose, but yet I think that it would have been easier. I do, for him to move, a lot easier than Charlie to move. I do. But yet, then I'm going to contradict myself here. Why the hell would Svechnikov want to put his leg into somebody? I mean, you're risking a major injury in that regard.
And it just, it also seemed like both of them had enough time to move. So it's also maybe that something was going on where both of them got caught puck watching or watching something over there, and that determined it as well, because it seemed like both of them should have had enough time to react, and Svechnikov was turning into it, so maybe he has a little bit more time. But even that, Charlie can move on a dot. I mean, these guys are in the NHL, and that's why these collisions very rarely happen, because guys are in so much control. And I kind of talked about after the game on Nesson where that's just a weird spot to have people on the ice as yeah. well. With the puck over on that Carolina right side, Charlie McAvoy is basically a zone away from the puck. And whether he tracked up and he's tracking back to get back to his point on defense, I'm not sure either one of them really expected either one of them to be there. We could probably watch hockey, and there's probably some website out there where a heat map where that puck was over on the right side, you probably 1 second out of the entire season, there was a defenseman and there was a left winger over on that side of the ice. It just was an odd play, and I don't think too much of it. I'm not completely putting it all past Svechnikov, but I just don't see why he would put
himself. Why would he put himself in that,
like,
spot?
You know, like, if he had to put a shoulder down and cork Charlie, that's a different story. But
right.
But to put his legs out there too, guys wouldn't do that on purpose. They just
That would be awfully stupid.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
And if he did, he was stupid lucky.
Yeah, when, that's right. And karma gets you when you do stuff like that.
No shit. Yeah, that's, right? when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a moment right now and quickly touch on our sponsors that make Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor possible. And then I've got a question for you, a very simple question, okay?
Okay.
Let's start with Tresca and Tresca North End. Go to TrescaNorthEnd.com and take a look at the menu. Take a look also at making a reservation. And, you know, when you head over to Tresca on Hanover Street, you never know who you're going to see, including you could see Ray Bourque. That's right. Number 77 is there an awful lot. And while you're there, you could enjoy one of his favorite dishes, the veal chop parm, a.k.a. the Ray Bourque special. It's one of the specialties of the house, as are Anna Maria's baked stuffed meatballs. And I had them recently, too, as part of an appetizer.
Both?
Oh, my God. I did, actually. Yeah. I did. I'm a huge veal chop guy, Ray. I love all different types of veal chops, and I love it, the veal chop parm way there that Chef Rich makes. They've got an extensive wine list and craft cocktails, great beers. Espresso martinis are a must to try. Outdoor patio dining starts May 1st, which was, well, the other day. So it started, past tense. And when you go there, make sure you tell Chef Rich, if you see him walking around in one of his nice chef coats, that the guy's from Morning Brew. Say hi. And lastly, check out Tresca Sauces Razor. They can be bought at Market Baskets, Whole Foods, Roach Brothers, Big Y, and some other small markets. Go out, go check out Tresca on Hanover Street. Trust me, folks, you will have a great time over there. Speaking of great time, if you've got a youngster that plays hockey like Razor and I do, send him over to Max Pro Hockey. Check out maxprohockey.com. Max Grachev, who had a long pro career, grew up in the Boston area too, so he knows this area an awful lot, and he also knows just how to teach kids and have a lot of fun. He puts the kids through tough practices, but with a lot of different unique ways. Go to maxprohockey.com for individual training, small group training, and also in-season team development training. And lastly, Fazenda Coffee. I was thinking of popping a coffee, but this late I would never get to bed, so I went for a different brew this time. FazendaCoffee.com. Fazenda's located right in Dedham, where they roast all of their coffees, and they've got so many different types of coffee there. And so you can order three bags or so, get the $45, and get a free mug. How do you do that? Go to FazendaCoffee.com/morningbrew. You get one of those beautiful mugs that our buddy Pete over there ordered for us. And Fazenda Coffee, if you want to buy it also locally, if you're at a store, go to Whole Foods. They sell it wholesale over there at Whole Foods. And so go check out FazendaCoffee.com/morningbrew. Thank you again to all of our sponsors. All right, are the Bruins good enough to beat this team? That's my question. I'll start. I don't know. I thought that they were. I thought that they'd be able to. I don't know if they are without Hampus Lindholm. I just don't know. And we're assuming, we don't know yet. Team's going to fly home, short flight back from Raleigh. We're recording this morning, Brew, right after the game on Wednesday night. So they'll be home at 1 a.m. on Thursday. How is Hampus? I'm guessing that it's not great. Bruce even said after the game, right?
Yeah.
So if it isn't, you know, I just don't know. Here's the thing. This Carolina team, and I said this on Nesson too, it's like they remind me of Bob Probert when he fought. And I covered Proby for a while, and I got to know him real well. And part of his MO was, you know, get a guy into thinking that they're okay and getting squared and then giving him. He was like a hibernating bear. Boom, boom, boom. Take a couple of slugs, and you're like, holy shit, he's awake. And Carolina right now is reminding me of that. The Bruins, again, with another fantastic, couldn't ask for a better start except for not being able to score. Otherwise, it was great. You said it. Every line on their first shift had an opportunity, did the right thing. So did we see their best punch, so to speak? And because they can't get a reward for it, and then the first time that Carolina says, we're awake now, we're going to do, like, I thought Jordan Staal was outstanding on the shift that led up to the Jesper Fast goal. Connor Clifton couldn't contain that cross seam pass for Fast. It was a bullet pass, though, Razor.
Mm-hmm.
He scores the one-timer. And after that, it was like, boom, whole different game. So can the Bruins, do they have enough to sustain to be able to play with this team? I mean, especially, you know, given that this team seems to be able to take a couple of punches.
They can. The one punch we all need to see is the Bruins actually scoring and seeing what that punch looks like. For the Carolina Hurricanes, can they can they come back from a lead? The Lindholm thing is a big problem. It's a really big problem. I wanted to see him play 30 minutes tonight. He got to 13:58. Mm-hmm. He's not getting to 30 minutes next game. It seems inevitable to me. And then there's a quick turnaround for Sunday's game too. They're basically two games in 36 hours. So, mm-hmm. I'm not sure because I thought like you, I felt very confident. This seemed like a very good matchup for the Bruins. I thought 5 days ago.
Yep.
It felt like a team, the way the Bruins were playing, the way they had Lindholm that they could get in, they had depth scoring. It felt like, and we haven't seen any of it at all. When you get two guys that have scored over two games, it's not enough in this National Hockey League anymore. And can some of these guys step up? We just haven't seen enough from anyone else to make me feel like they're just going to break out of nowhere. And you get the home ice and you get the bump at home and you get the desperation that you have to play with.
Which we have not seen enough desperation. We've seen spurts of desperation. The start of each game one and game two. We saw the end of game two, a desperation. I thought, you know, they had the power play and late in the game and they were, how long was that shift? I don't have it in front of me that those guys stayed out there. Mm-hmm. Okay, desperation. But Razor, I haven't seen enough of it. I'll give credit to Carolina because I do believe that the opponent has a hand in minimizing that desperation level from the opponent, but there hasn't been enough. And you know, like what do we think is Brad Marchand hurt? I thought early on in the game he was on a mission.
I'm not going to give him that because to the point he came out, he had great shifts, he had a good shift in the second where he had a couple opportunities, but They've really done a number. They've really nullified. I mean, we saw some of that frustration come again late in the second where he's slashing the goalie again. He's certainly number one on the list of needing to get going.
Yep.
On this Bruins team at home. That desperation that comes into play is something that's very important for this group, and we've seen it over the years propel them, and they've just outwilled teams. And to the point, we just haven't seen enough of it. And
Patrice
and
was desperate. Patrice played like not just a captain, but a desperate player trying to do everything to help his team out in this game. Took one in the veggies, as you said. That was, I guess that would be an eggplant.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And a couple of mushrooms.
Yeah, that's right. You can only be so lucky to have. Anyways. and even at 4-1, they're battling, they're grinding. Like I liked their game at 4-1 probably as much as I'd liked any of the game in the season. I thought those last few shifts and Charlie McAvoy darting down the wing. They want a face-off in the offensive zone. They're creating a little bit of havoc there, but do I feel like they can sustain that for 60 minutes?
I don't right now.
Yeah, I just don't. And and I know Cassidy was frustrated with the lack of saves being made, but I don't see
that either. That was my next thing to ask you about.
I don't see that either in...
But Swayman starts.
Swayman's definitely starting. That there's no question about that after hearing the post-press conference. But I don't see how that was going to change things either. And we talked about it both games where, yeah, Linus played good. He didn't steal it by any means, but how does he steal it when you're getting tip shots and rebounds in front and the 5-on-3 goals that happened tonight.
So was there any goal that, unlike the Trocheck goal from game one off the goal line, off the helmet, was there any one where you said,
Well, when he's talking about making saves, you could go to the fast goal, right? Make a save early. We see other big Binnington make big saves like that in first period. So again, head coaches are typically much harder on goaltenders than everybody else. And I could see him saying he needed that save. We played so well in the first period. We needed one save on the road. Tuukka Rask has made that save in the past for him. You look at the second one. I can't imagine him thinking that's possible with a high tip off of Grizzlick's skate. I don't see that one.
Yep,
I guess you go the second Aho goal, slapper inside the post, 15 inches off the ice. Try and find to get a save there as a coach. I mean, he might see a slap shot from up top.
My shooter, I mean, look, Aho's an amazing player. He's a star, but maybe I say that one right there because I don't know how you honestly, I don't know how the hell you guys get over. That pass from the first goal over to Fast from Stahl was an absolute laser
it was.
Pass. And to one time that is, you know, it's a thing of beauty. And that's what makes these guys so special. I think maybe the third goal is the one. That's the one that I was leaning towards.
Yeah, and it could be that one. I think at this point, it seemed as though Bruce was just frustrated over seeing the other guy down at the other end. But again, I don't feel like it's the same. I don't feel like Carolina's had quite the hard time getting to the front of the net that the Bruins have. And that makes it hard on the goaltenders. Again, it's hard to steal a game when you're getting tip shots, you're getting screen shots. It's just you need so much more luck than when everything's in front of you and you can see it and you can make that one breakaway save. That's a breakaway save's 100 times easier for Linus Allmark than a tip from Aho,
right,
25 feet from the net. It just is. And it might not look it all the time, but that's the fact.
Trent Frederick, only 6 minutes in this game, did take a penalty in the game. To 10 shifts. Get two hits. Do you think that he is in danger of being taken out of the lineup? I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Because that third line
hasn't been good.
Hasn't been anywhere near what it should or has been. And while you can't maybe take the other two guys on the line off the hook or allow them off the hook, I mean, you know, I know Frederick didn't like it, the penalty call, and God, the refs were freaking...
Average.
Average is, yeah.
Right?
I know you don't mean that.
I mean,
yeah, yeah. They were, it was curious as shit, man. Yeah. That call on Carlo.
The 5-on-3.
The 5-on-3, putting the guys on penalties, a two-minute double mine, two men down. Speak. Those calls were shitty.
Yeah, they sucked.
They were, but wasn't the reason.
No.
It helped, though. It helped bring the Bruins to a loss, but it wasn't the reason. But Frederick, I thought it was an interference. At first I didn't. I'm like, what did they? Then you watch it, and they didn't have the puck whatsoever. Hits him from the side, and so I mean, who do you put in? So and I mean, let's talk lines. What's our guess? Like, are you going to Brad, Patrice?
I don't
want David?
To. I don't want to see that to start the game. I don't want to see that perfection line together. I think that second line's been too valuable for the last 3 months to go away from it after a game and a half. I understand.
I think you lose. Now, I don't know. Do you just, if you do that, do you just switch 88 and 74? Do you just switch those guys? And
I don't think so.
So if you go with what you've been through, and then you have an opening on if you take Frederick out of the lineup,
yeah, then you keep your fourth line attack, you put the second line back together, and then you put
Wagner or Bleed.
Yeah, that's right, and you put it on Coyle to have a night at home and Smitty to have a night.
Well, if you put Wagner and you got three righties on that line,
not ideal.
No, and if you put Bleed in there, you put a player that I don't see the coaching staff having a lot of trust and faith in.
No. Oh, so your other option
but
is...
earlier in the year, he had a couple of good games in a row, but then
he tailed off. And he's here for, you know, he's not playing in Providence because they want other guys playing. Or you go to desperate times, desperate measures. You go to Providence. They've been playing games. I think did they play tonight again? I'm not sure. But they've had one game in Bridgeport the other night. They lost, so... do you grab one of those guys and put them on the left side?
Who?
I
don't see anybody down there.
There's no one's making a difference at the end of the day. So that's the hard part about the situation they're in. There's nobody that's coming in that's the magic pill. You need someone who's serviceable for 11 minutes.
So, all right.
Because you can't move Foligno up. You can't touch the fourth line. I don't see it that way. And again, I want to get that first and second line. You get a matchup. Listen, whatever the matchup.
So maybe
was,
you bring if you don't trust Bleed, you bring in Wagner, and you just rotate. Maybe you rotate. And I know this isn't ideal, but Marchand a little extra time and Taylor Hall
penalties that there has been that they've continued to call certainly tonight. Then there's lots of minutes to go around because you're just killing penalties or you're on the power play so much too.
We assume that Mike Riley comes in for Hampus Lindholm. Is that just the lefty-for-lefty trade-off?
Yes, and the puck moving still. You need someone to move the puck, another guy to move the puck. I would assume you can't. I don't think you go so heavy that you're bringing Brown in the lineup. So Riley's next man up in this situation, and you would assume to put him with Carlo and look for McAvoy to play 38 minutes. He played 28 tonight. He's got to play 38 now.
So going back to your playoff history, and having years of, you know, time passing to be, I don't want to say honest with yourself, not that the players are lying to themselves, but, you know, when you're in it, you always believe. You do. You believe, you hope, you say, we know that it hasn't been this, but let's try and make it that. But now that you're out of the game and you're, you know, view from above, so to speak, as you've gone to the dark side of broadcasting, has there ever been a playoff series where you were down a couple and you said, you know, where you can look back and say, yeah, now I knew it, you know, when you were done playing, like, I knew it that we were not going to really be able to come back.
You know what? It's fun. Not really, actually. And to the point of...
See, that's the beauty of being a player. Meaning, and you, when you're in that moment, you can't think any other way.
Yeah, no.
And that's the beauty. And it's hard, for listeners or fans to understand when they say, you're done. But as a player, you don't think that way. Otherwise, why are you going to the rink then?
And you all know, you know the story of a guy, or you were already on a team in your life before that was down 2-0, and they lost the first two on the road, and you got smoked, and you came home, and something clicked, and you got going. Patrice has been down 2-0. Like, these guys have this. They have storybook endings on 2-0. So that's why you don't lose that belief. The series I was going to reference, we ended up getting smoked, but we played Chicago. When they won the cup, their first cup, I was in Vancouver. We went 1-1 in Chicago. We went back home. They beat us 8-2, 8-3 at home. Something crazy.
I remember those games.
We were down 3-1, came back to Chicago, and we won in Chicago.
I remember that
game,
yeah.
To make it 3-2, and we're going home. And then we got beat at home 9-0 again. Like, it was ridiculous that we lost all three games at home. But the point is, we went into that game 5 thinking we were going to win the series still. We just had to win this game in Chicago. We're going to go home, win that game, and then we're going to win game 7. We believed that. I believed that as the backup goalie not playing. Happy to go home because my wife and kid were already in Boston. Like, my summer was ready to go, but I really did believe still, even at that point, that we were going on. So these guys still believe that they can win. They're going home. They feel like they can win 2 games at home, and they'll go from there.
Yeah, and they're not telling themselves. They're not having one of the, what was the guy named? Stuart Smalley?
Whatever.
Gee whiz, we're going to be okay. It's okay. You know, yeah, but we haven't been nearly as good. We need to slug it out here and get one. That's all they're thinking about. They're thinking about one. About one freaking game. But that one game... Razor, holy smokes, man.
It feels like a lot right now.
They need to be a lot better. They need to also not... I feel like if they don't get rewarded after... You know, I keep thinking about it, and it's so similar game 1 to game 2. It's like they run out of that mojo gas, you know, and it's just one mistake, and then it's like, oh,
yeah,
done.
That's unlike this group.
They don't handle it.
It's unlike this group.
You're right, it isn't like this group, but that's, I guess, what's concerning.
Yeah,
they don't handle... You've had 2 games in a row where 2 goals have been scored, bang, bang. Mm-hmm. That kind of shit doesn't fly at the playoffs.
And there's nothing in between that first goal, the second goal. Even they were bang, bang, but there was also not even a shift in between either of them where the Bruins had a chance. And a lot of times you'll see that in the regular season, or we've seen that when they have given up 2 goals in a row, but they still had 3 great opportunities in between that just didn't go their way, and it was just not their night. This situation, they give up 1, and it was an absolute hang on the rest of the first period tonight.
Right.
Like, it wasn't, there was no pushback down at the other end for a long period of time, and that's Carolina's credit, but what makes it a little nerve-wracking, I suppose.
Anything else you want to cover?
Nah, what a night. Man, we covered a lot tonight.
We did. And I hope the fans listening enjoyed this in the sense of the information, the listen. I know they did not enjoy the result.
Nope.
It's hard. I get it as a fan. You do. But, you know, you got to prepare for the next game as a fan, just like as a broadcaster and just like as a player. Be ready.
Just takes one.
Just to get after it. Whether that's, I don't know, man. I want to believe. I do. And I was asked actually this morning on the Hub on 98.5, like, do you believe that this Bruins team can hang with them? And I do. And I said I did. If Hampus isn't there.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I don't know. I don't know if the structure's there. Good birthday? Average birthday? What kind of birthday?
Good birthday. Went out to lunch with the crew, so that was good. Everyone had a half day at school, so it was kind of nice. So it was the first Wednesday of the month, my middle schooler, he has the half day, and my twins always have a half day. So that did work out. We had a little cake in the afternoon before I came to the studio.
And you literally had a little cake at the studio as well?
I had a little cake at the studio, so I've had cake twice. So yeah, great day. Wonderful
Excellent.
Day.
Well, happy birthday. Yeah, happy, healthy birthday, and many, many more. All right, that's going to wrap up this Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Thank you, as always, folks, for taking the time to listen, and we really appreciate you. We appreciate our sponsors, Berkshire Bank, and this episode also made possible by Tresca. Go check out Tresca in the North End, Fazenda Coffee. Use fazendacoffee.com/morningbrew to get your mug after $45 or more purchase, and lastly, Max Pro, maxprohockey.com. Everybody, hang in there. Hang in there. I hope your coffee is tasting delicious. I'm sure you're sipping on a Fazenda dark roast right now, but I hope it's tasting good, because you know when it's all said and done, it's all about the coffee. Everybody, try and enjoy your day. Razor and I will be back with you after Friday's game. It's at home at TD Garden. Bruins take on the Canes starting at 7 o'clock, pregame 6 on Nesson. All right, everybody, enjoy your day. Enjoy your coffee. See you later. I'm rambling. Goodbye.